Welcome to the Telehealth Heroes podcast. On today's episode, we get to talk to Dr. Reese Chapman, a clinical psychologist who has been using Doximy for 5-6 years now. And I remember him from back in the early days of Doximy when I was still doing customer support. And we chatted then. I was helping him with issues back then. So it is actually a real privilege to be able to talk to Dr. Chapman today and know that, hey, he's still with us. We're using Doximy for telemedicine. And so, Dr. Chapman, thank you for being on the show today.
Delighted to be here. Good to see you again.
Yes, likewise. So you were one of the early users of Doximy, which is really exciting. So tell me about your background. How did you get into psychology to begin with, and what led you to explore telemedicine in the early days before it was cool?
Well, I got into clinical psychology because I like messing with people's minds. No, that's
great.
Cut that right. I got into clinical psychology really out of a fascination with people and a interest in being benevolent and helping, but also sort of a prurient interest in pathology and what's wrong with a person, what's wrong with the situation, see a way to try to integrate that into a better quality of life for them. And so that was sort of overall what got me interested in clinical psychology. It's been a decades-long path since then. I don't know what other details you'd want me to get into, but that was what got me started.
That's fine. So, really quick on this, when you got into psychology, did you end up doing what you expected to be doing once you got into practice and seeing patients?
Right. What I expected to do was be primarily a clinical psychologist doing a combination of psychotherapy and testing. I do psychological and neuropsychological testing, and then I do psychotherapy with individuals, with families, with couples, and that sort of thing. And I completed all of my graduate training and took a job at a rehab hospital near Atlanta, Georgia, and that was when I started my individual practice about a year after that. And so I have, for many, many years, for many decades, been a solo practitioner, meaning I'm the only doc in the group. I have a very limited staff, and my days are filled with psychotherapeutic appointments with patients and doing psych testing or administering psych tests, having those administered for me while I supervise. And my approach to psychotherapy is somewhat different from the generic therapist. A lot of people are doing cognitive behavioral therapy, and I really don't do that. My approach to therapy is much more client-centered. The systems are called interpersonal and gestalt. And that means that my therapeutic relationship isn't solely based on, or primarily based on, the verbal content of what's being said. It looks much more at nonverbals and facial expressions and developing a an interpersonal rapport. And so the relationship, the interaction in the room, is critically important. And that's the reason why I was really fairly adamantly opposed to the very idea of teletherapy. For many years, I had insisted that I would never do it. People wanted to have therapy sessions on the telephone, and I said, I really would rather not do that. I'll be available to talk with you in a crisis, but I don't really consider that psychotherapy. And so I was sort of a hard-headed anti-teletherapy therapist for probably many, many years, which is part of the irony as to why I got into teletherapy and Doximy in the first place.
Right. What was the challenge that led you to first explore and potentially accept the potential of using teletherapy in your practice?
Well, for 4 or 5 years, my wife, a pediatrician, and I had decided to move to some other place. We went all over the country looking for a place to move to. And it was really in the spring of 2016 that we decided to move to Harrisonburg, Virginia. We had been living in North Georgia. And we decided to relocate to Virginia. And obviously, when I have a full practice, I have to say goodbye to a lot of people. There were probably 4 or 5 dozen active clients that I had to say goodbye to. And There are all kinds of ways that you terminate those relationships. And I told each one that I was moving and said that I would, make sure that the closure of our therapeutic relationship was done reliably and ethically and all that sort of thing. And these are clients that I had encouraged and helped to be much more proactive and to ask for what they wanted. And damn if they didn't say, well, if you're going to go to Virginia, then why don't you do teletherapy? And I kept telling them, I don't do that. That's just not the kind of therapist I am. And they were persistent. I guess it's a sign of the success that I'd had with a lot of them. And they wanted me to cry anyway, and I was resisting. Well, about that time, I had a Skype session with my son and daughter-in-law and new grandkids. They were in Richmond. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that session, I discovered I was gasping for breath. I'd been laughing. I was crying. I had had a really powerful emotional experience. And I said to my wife, maybe something really does translate over the internet. Maybe something really does emotional validity really does translate through a video medium like this. And so I decided to give it a try. And with a select number of patients in North Georgia, we had a few sessions and they were absolutely dreadful. Now in Georgia, most people had dial up or slower. And so the connections were terrible and the equipment was terrible. And yet I discovered that I was able to maintain our relationship and to have a good therapeutic rapport despite all of the technical issues. And I said, well, I'm willing to give this a try. And so in the, I guess it was the middle, early summer of 2016, we relocated to Harrisonburg, Virginia. And I spent about a week moving into a new home. And then I opened what was an office, but it was in our rental B&B, and discovered that I had a full caseload. I had a complete caseload of patients, all of them in Georgia, not a single patient in Virginia. And I had much better quality of connection with internet, and I had an assistant who was invaluable in helping me arrange this. Some of my patients from Georgia would log on from their own devices. A great many of them would go to my office, which was still open in Georgia, and sit in my office, and we had a doxy rig there. We had a laptop system that was working, and that was how I got started. So I came to Harrisonburg, Virginia with a full caseload of Georgia patients.
No, I'm curious. That was 5 years ago. How many of those patients do you still see today?
Probably about 10 or 12, and it's much more intermittent. And there's some that I see that I didn't have any kind of therapeutic relationship with before leaving, but these were their kids or, their friends or whatever.
It was referrals from other patients at the time. Do you maintain that office in Georgia still?
No, that office has been closed for several years now. So everybody logs in from home or from their cars. My last patient was logging in from her car because she found that the only place she could get a sense of privacy was out in her vehicle.
Yeah, that is something that many people have said, that they prefer being in the car because nobody else can hear them and it's quiet and safe. And these are really interesting insights you don't think about, you don't plan for. It just happens, and patients bring these interesting things. So how was what was the process you went through as you started to give this to them and you tried it out? And what were some of the challenges that you faced early on? You mentioned the internet piece, but what was it difficult to get the patients to accept this and to do this?
I found every single one of them was very accepting of it right away. There were a few patients that I had, actually there were probably a third of them didn't even want to try it. And that was fine. I just had a regular termination with them. But at least half of them were eager to maintain therapy and to continue. And some of them, I continued to see years later. Some of them, I had a few closing sessions and we said goodbye and they moved on. You asked what the challenges were. The challenges were that I was uncomfortable being a humanistic therapist in a teletherapy setting. It took me a while to get to the point where I'm noticing some changing in the hue and tone of their skin and their face, or I'm noticing a glistening in their eye. And I don't know if that's just video noise or if that's something that I should be attending to. And I learned how to ask questions that were not too obtrusive, but that really allowed me to kind of confirm what I was observing and to make more sense of it. I also learned to make a hell of a lot more empathic statements, to say to them that I can tell that they are likely feeling this, or I'm guessing that you're feeling that, to help with the rapport across the video system, across the internet.
So that's interesting. So there are these differences between in-person and the video, but as you've done more and more video, you've been able to compensate for those differences.
It's very true.
Besides the convenience of being able to connect with patients and the accessibility, connecting with patients remotely, do you see any other advantages to doing video or sessions by video?
There are times that I think that a certain session played out better because we were in this teletherapeutic modality rather than face-to-face. I'm sort of at a loss to give an example of that, but there are times that it makes it a lot easier to kind of focus in on a particular line of reasoning or a particular verbal content, and that becomes easier, I think, sometimes with teletherapy. You talked about the convenience of it. I was preparing for this podcast and was thinking about what Doxy had meant to me and how I had used it, and I was making a list of places that I have done teletherapy from, and they include the rainforest in Costa Rica in a resort, a hostel in a West Virginia mining town, my friend's back porch in the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia, hotel rooms in Tennessee, hotel rooms in Philadelphia, a horse ranch in Pennsylvania in an RV, and often in my own car in a different parking lot. So just the capacity to be able to to maintain a therapeutic schedule, but then, you know, I've got to go somewhere, be somewhere, I can still provide an interaction with these people, still provide psychotherapy from all these different places. It's pretty amazing. And
That's incredible. You've really got that freedom has opened up to you to not be limited to a physical space, but you can be anywhere to do this session. And speaking of which, tell us where you're at now and why you're there, and have you done any video sessions from here?
Yes. So I do lots of... my wife and I work in Northern Virginia. We work in Ashburn. And normally when I'm doing Doxy sessions, I do them from our home, which is in Leesburg, a city just about 10 minutes away. Yeah. And that was where I was intending to have my podcast. I've got my carefully decorated and laid out office and, you know, all of my better sound equipment and better cameras and stuff like that. And early this week, I developed some symptoms that were COVID-like and got COVID tested and discovered that I was COVID positive. And so we decided to quarantine, and to do so, we decided to go to our home. We have a home in near Harrisonburg in the Shenandoah Valley. And so that's where I am linked in to you, is from the Shenandoah Valley. And so that's another great use of Doxy.
Which is incredible, because COVID has really gave a shot in the arm to the whole telemedicine industry. And the fact that you were a telemedicine leader before COVID, but are now have COVID and are able to do this call, is just an incredible bit of irony, to say the least.
I think so. When we moved, we maintained our home in Shenandoah Valley, but we took jobs in Ashburn. I was still seeing one day a week. I was still doing teletherapy from home, the home being up there in Northern Virginia. And my colleagues, and now I'm not with a solo practice, now I'm with a very large practice, multi-specialty, multi-practitioner. And they were sort of rolling their eyes, and I'm still doing this teletherapy stuff. They really liked to do, be with the patient in the office and to have that kind of rapport. Right. Nobody that I knew of was doing teletherapy. Until the second week of March of 2020, when all hell broke loose, and all of a sudden they're saying, don't you do teletherapy? And I think I got you about 20 Doxy users that week.
We appreciate it.
Right.
So this is something that we found as well. A lot of people, when COVID came, they said, oh my gosh, we got to use telemedicine. What do you use? And many people we had, many people say, oh yeah, we use Doxy. Okay, great. We're going to use that. What was the experience of those colleagues of yours as they, you had the time to ease into it over many years. They just got thrust into it overnight. What was their experience like?
I think they very smoothly transitioned from what I can tell. I never heard any horror stories. What happened was they started asking me questions. And so I sent an email to them saying, here are some things you might want to think about. You might want to think about getting a better camera. You might want to think about having something to prop up your laptop. You might want to have, a better quality microphone. You might want to make sure that all of your internet devices in your home are turned off except for the one that you're using for Doxy, and get your clients to do the same thing, and get your clients not to sit with a flat wall behind them because you'll get audio feedback, and make sure that they turn off the ceiling fan because that disturbs, and all these things that I've learned over the years. I was able to pass that information on to them, and I think that helped a lot of them be much better prepared to get started with the whole process.
Do they still roll their eyes at telemedicine, or have they converted as well?
Right. A good many of them never did return to the office. So I returned to my office back in March or April of this year, and started seeing more and more clients face-to-face, and was back to having maybe two-thirds of my practice being face-to-face until the Omicron variant appeared. And then I withdrew again into totally teletherapy setting. So I'm seeing all of my Northern Virginia patients through Doxy as well. I was working again from Leesburg, but now I'm quarantining in the Shenandoah Valley.
Right. It's using telemedicine to keep your patients safe from you with COVID. So which is ironic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now what? So you've gained all this freedom, and you've been able to see these patients, maintain the patients from Georgia, and really in many ways, it sounds like it's changed your practice and the trajectory of your practice. And where do you think you would be if you hadn't converted to telemedicine and you still stayed in the old school in person only?
Well, that's a fascinating question. I'm not sure I'm ready to answer that one right yet. That's a great one. I'd like to think that I'd be in pretty much the same place that I am, but clearly if I weren't using telemedicine, it would have created some major obstacles to providing therapeutic services. To providing psychotherapy would be much more difficult to provide. I think it would have drastically limited my availability to them and their availability for me.
And moving from Georgia to Virginia, and if you didn't have those patients with you, would it have made it more difficult for you to get up and running and talk about what it would have been like if you didn't have those Georgia patients to help you transition?
No question. Now, I know how to start a practice. I know how to go and visit all of the doctors and all of the lawyers and all of the probation officers and people that might be sources of referrals. And I was prepared to do all of that in Harrisonburg upon arriving. But I actually postponed doing that much longer than I should have. It was almost a year before I got seriously involved in trying to develop and grow my Harrisonburg practice, my Virginia practice, just because Doxy was so successful for me.
Yeah, no, so that's interesting. So you moved to a new state and didn't really truly put in effort to go get new clients for a year before. And it's probably because some patients were finishing up and you had more time available. That's incredible. Moving to a new area is stressful and busy enough, and then having to start a new practice on top of it, that's just a lot. So it seems like it helped transition that as well. Go ahead.
I was going to say it was quite a blessing. It really it made all the
Cool.
difference.
Yeah, so it's interesting that it's allowing you to expand outside of your regional footprint, and really there are no barriers or geographic limitations to the patients you can take.
Exactly, right.
Right. Interesting. What do you think the future of healthcare looks like?
Well, I have a wife who is a pediatrician, and I'm a clinical psychologist, and my father is a retired oncologist. And
Oh,
I
wow.
have seen in my life medicine and healthcare undergo really traumatizing, painful transformations. And I find it increasingly difficult to predict what's going to happen. I truly hope that teletherapy becomes a very established and well-utilized medium for providing healthcare services. And I think clearly that has happened. I'd love to think that it wouldn't have been just because of the pandemic that this was necessitated, but I'm hoping that that continues. I had misgivings about the possibility of insurance companies wanting to change their policies to make teletherapy no longer reimbursable or at a reimbursable at a lower rate. I'm not aware that that's happening as of yet, but that is of some concern for me. It really seems to me that the that 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 okay. It really seems to me that healthcare has moved beyond the fee for service. Come into my exam room and tell me your symptoms, and I will write you a prescription. It has moved well beyond that. I know that when I see a physician for myself as a patient, I rely very heavily on the ability either to meet with them in their office if that's available, or to be able to log into their teletherapy mode and to make use of that. So I find that very, very helpful as well. As for what the future holds, I would have difficulty hazarding a guess.
Did your did you convert your go ahead?
That makes it all very exciting in many ways and
Right.
frightening in other ways.
Right. Yeah, uncertainty is definitely scary, and COVID brought a lot of uncertainty. It was scary for a lot of people, but the technology that's coming is also there to help make things easier as well, which is exciting. What is one thing that Doximity can do better for you?
That Doxy can do better for me in comparison with
Yeah,
what?
what is there a feature that we can add, or is there something that we can improve that will improve your experience?
Nothing comes to mind for me. I have really failed to make use of all of the, for example, you have apparently a very effective payment system. I've never made use of that. I've thought of trying to do that, but all of the billing is done in-house within my current practice in Ashburn. So
Gotcha.
I like it that I have the capacity to have multiple clients logged in at once. That enables me, I've done family therapy with five people in at once. I think that's all been very helpful. I will tell you that there are times that I can't get a good connection. And usually that's because of a weakness on the part of the client's internet. And there are times that I will switch to a different modality like Zoom. And I always explain to them that this is not secured, and they say they don't care. And so we log on with Zoom. So if there is some way to make it easier for, or I don't know how I would say this, if there is some way for the connection to be better utilized so that we didn't have difficulty connecting over the internet, that would be an improvement that I would love to see.
Yeah,
Again,
no, definitely. Go ahead.
I have a great many clients, again, in North Georgia and in the Shenandoah Valley who have terrible Wi-Fi, terrible internet service. And so sometimes there's no sound, or the sound is so distorted, or the video is so pixelated that it just makes the session almost useless. And so we then will switch to a different modality.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we describe it like Doximy is like a Porsche or something, and it's driving down the road and on a fast road, a good road, it's going to drive fast and it's going to be fine. But when you get on a bumpy road, you're not going to need to drive 100 miles an hour. You're going to want to go slow. But no, we recognize that, and it's just some elements. Sometimes the computer's a little bit old, or this or that, and there are elements. But that's something definitely we are always seeking to improve.
I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to steal that analogy and make use of it and explain it to my
Please, partner. Please. Please. Well, Dr. Chapman, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
I've enjoyed this too.
And thank you for being such a longtime user and being a big advocate of Doximy as well.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you for what you do.